And today we're going to complete our celebration of Christmas by looking at Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. In this most famous scene, we will witness two meetings following the birth of Christ that ought to encourage and challenge us as God's people as we move from this Christmas season into the next season. We're going to learn that the baby that changes everything ought to change our witness before others in this world. And so if you have your copy of the text with you this morning or can pull it up on a device, please turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 8 through 20. If you would stand in honor of reading God's word, I will read this, we will pray, and the Spirit will teach us this morning. Luke's gospel says these words, beginning in verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this Christ. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that as we revisit this familiar passage, we would allow it to change us. Lord, may it change our witness in this world that desperately needs to know that a Savior has been born, Jesus Christ, whose life and ministry, whose death and resurrection have paved a way for people everywhere to be made right with God. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, we're going to look at two meetings that take place in the verses that we just read. And the first meeting is the meeting in which the angels meet with the shepherds. Earlier in the account that Luke gives us of the Christmas story, the good doctor described the greatest miracle ever in verses 1 through 7, the birth of Jesus Christ. God had come to earth as a baby, and news of this magnitude needed to be shared. Enter the next set of characters to emerge onto the scene. In verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And while it might seem a bit peculiar to announce this important news first to shepherds in a field, especially when one understands their humble place in society at the time, consider the prominent role that shepherds play in the Scriptures. King David, after all, was a shepherd, and God is described even as a shepherd in places like Psalm 23. Later, Jesus himself would be called the Good Shepherd. These references seem to indicate that God seems pleased with associating with and elevating the lowly class of shepherds in this world for his incredible purposes. This would be Jesus' MO throughout his ministry, as he would extend good news to those who were humble enough to understand that they needed it, and himself proved to be a shepherd to those who were willing to be shepherded by his life and message. What a treat for these shepherds here in this story. Undeserved, unmerited, it would be for these shepherds to be entrusted with this great news of Christ's birth. And while doing what shepherds do, watching their sheep in the cool of night, verse 9 tells us that their ordinary lives are interrupted by an angel of the Lord who suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and understandably, they are terribly frightened. Just imagine these men nodding off to the soft braying of the sheep, the sound of nearby crickets, and suddenly being awakened by the bright light and presence of this heavenly figure. This angel was probably that same Gabriel who appeared earlier in Luke's gospel in chapter 1, verse 11 and 19 and 26 to foretell the birth of John the Baptist to Elizabeth and then Jesus to Mary. And the initial reaction to the emergence of this angel for these shepherds is terror, and understandably so. It's not every day you're visited by a figure from heaven with the glory of the Lord shining around him. In fact, remember, heaven had been relatively silent for over 400 years now. The shepherds were anything but prepared for what they saw and what they were about to hear. And after the initial shock of this divine disruption, the angel said to them, to these shepherds, verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." The nature of the message the angel gives is especially important. And what he reveals in this opening salvo says a lot. First, what the angel promises to give them is called good news. In fact, it's the best news of all, that God had sent his Son to save people from their sins. Second, this should bring about great joy, as the angel says. In a world of heartache, brokenness, darkness, and death, nothing can change the fact that God has provided a remedy and ultimate salvation from these things. This ought to provide sustaining joy to all who know and understand it. But thirdly, not only is it called good news that promises great joy, this gospel, this joy is for, and this is good stuff right here, for who? All the people. It's for everyone who will accept and embrace it. Rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, shepherds and kings. I imagine the look of terror on these shepherds' faces was beginning to change. Their mouths curving into a smile. And next, the angel reveals that this gospel and joy with implications for the world is found in a very special newborn baby. A baby that changes everything. Verse 11, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This birth announcement indicates that this baby has a royal pedigree. He's born, after all, in the city of David, and would prove to be the long-awaited Savior of his people. In the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms and Isaiah, God is frequently identified as the Savior of his people. Jesus would prove to be the Savior because through him, God would redeem his people out of sin and death. The title the angel gives Jesus, Christ the Lord, calls to mind his special anointing as the salvation-bringing King of the Jews, in keeping with the messianic expectation found in promises of the Old Testament. A king, a savior, a messiah had been born to bring good news and joy for all who would accept it. And this message that the angel brings could be verified in a confirming sign. Verse 12 says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And perhaps we can now understand part of the reason behind this peculiar nursery that Jesus was inhabiting that we know so well from all of our nativities that we set up or all of the presentations that we've seen or what we show people during Bethlehem Walk. You know, let's not allow the familiarity of the stable that we know so well and have seen so often to cause us to lose sight of how profound it was for God to be born in such a humble place. This truly was the last place you would expect to find a newborn baby. It would be weird for these shepherds to stumble upon such a sight. A baby being placed where animals feed from and wrapped in cloths that were made for animals. This would be the sign. This would be the confirmation. Weird, yes, but exactly how God decided to come to this earth. This anomaly would help indicate that something very special had taken place. That is, if the shepherds were willing to check things out for themselves. If this wasn't already enough of a spectacle for these shepherds, verse 13 says that suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Such hosts or armies of heaven reveal God's sovereign power and authority, sovereignty that we've already traced in every detail, both great and small, in this unfolding story we've looked at over the last several weeks. And this heavenly host turns into a mighty chorus of singers, praising God, verse 13 continues, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." Here, the events and circumstances of Jesus' birth are properly directed to the glory of God. Everything that has occurred in this endeavor of bringing God's Son to the world glorified the Lord in a most special way. Not only that, but it would result in peace among men with whom He is pleased. Those who will embrace God's gift, who will relate in faith to this Savior that has been born, will know the peace of God that overwhelms the anxiety and brokenness brought on by sin. Talk about some exciting news. A welcome interruption. The greatest news of the greatest gift come to the world to provide the greatest relief from mankind's greatest problem. And this news is just as good today as it was for these shepherds. And it's our prayer that if it's not already interrupted your life, it would this Christmas. But that's just the first meeting. The meeting of the angels with the shepherds. But there's another meeting that takes place in this passage, and that's the meeting in which the shepherds meet with Jesus. I love how the shepherds respond to this news. The shepherds respond to this divine interruption with immediate action. Luke reveals, when the angels, in verse 10, had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." The way this response is described here suggests that the shepherds left at once in a hurry to confirm what the angel had disclosed to them. This is verified in verse 16 when it says, "So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger." The shepherds probably checked the animal stables that were in and around Bethlehem until they found the one with the baby in it, right? Bethlehem was not a large town by modern standards, and this search probably didn't take too long for them. And their journey to Bethlehem ended when they happened upon exactly what the angel predicted they would see: the God-child laying in a manger with Mary and Joseph on either side. And the text goes on to say that when the shepherds had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. This implies that the first reaction to the experience that they just had with Jesus was what? Was to go and tell others what they had witnessed. This is the first example of a pattern that will surface again and again and again throughout Jesus' ministry and beyond. Many who are healed by Jesus later in His ministry go and tell those around them what has occurred. The Samaritan woman at the well, immediately upon her interaction with Jesus, does what? She goes and shares who He is with those in her town. The disciples, following the resurrection and sending of the Holy Spirit, go and tell Jesus' story and establish the church. Saul, after confronting Jesus on the road to Damascus, changes his name to Paul and spends the rest of his life going and telling others the gospel message throughout the Roman Empire. The Ethiopian eunuch, after learning from the book of Isaiah from Philip, was saved only to then go and tell his people back home. The Philippian jailer, after hearing about Jesus, goes and tells his family. We could go on and on and tell you story after story that repeats the same theme. And this pattern, which began with the shepherds, seems to be the first and most appropriate response to interfacing with Jesus, whether the person or his message. Those who understand who Jesus is and what he came to bring ought not be able to help themselves and, like these shepherds, busy themselves with sharing the greatest news of all. That's how you know someone's met with Jesus. That's the calling card that they're going and they're telling others who he is and what he's done. The testimony of the shepherds appears to prove effective. Verse 18 says, "All who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." At least for the present, this wonder that was instilled in those who heard their message was enough to set in motion the next phase of God's plan. There was something wonderful about what was shared by these shepherds and the happenings of that first Christmas. And such wonder drew the gaze of those who heard their report toward the heavens. Could this be true? Has God really broken through? Is salvation really here? The answer to all these questions is a resounding yes. Jesus has been born, and with him, the redemption for all who believe. Do you know this? If you know this, how keen are you to go and tell those around the greatest news of all? Do people wonder after meeting with you concerning who God is and the implications of God's word for their lives? What better gift could we possibly give in this season or in every season than to go and tell this story and what it means to those who have not heard it or who have up until now not been willing to embrace it? Over the last several weeks, we've celebrated some of the most profound events that have ever occurred, profound events that are celebrated in a special way every year in this season. But my question is this: what is God trying to get through to you or leading you to do in response to what you've heard? Perhaps God is leading you, much like the shepherds, to the person of Jesus Christ, so that you might surrender to him and embrace the gift that he was sent to bring in faith. Perhaps God is leading you, much like Mary and Joseph, to be obedient, even in the little things, or even in things that you don't quite understand, but you know are clearly spoken in God's word. We looked at that last week, as Mary was called and proved to be obedient. And what a blessing that ended up being. Or perhaps, as in the context of Genesis, 2 weeks ago, God is revealing to you that no matter how far gone you may believe you are, no matter how disappointed you may believe God is at your life, God is still able to save. And that he loves you so much that he put a plan in place from the moment of our greatest need to provide salvation for our greatest problem. Do not miss out on what God has for you this Christmas. Jesus was born as a baby who would change everything, and this he did by living a perfect life, dying on a cross in our place, and rising again 3 days later in victory. And in so doing, he is able to give the greatest gift of all to those who will believe on him in faith: salvation. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment as we enter into a time of invitation? Even on this Christmas morning, I don't want to pass over an opportunity for us to respond to what we've heard, not just today, but what we've been reminded of over the last several weeks. We trust that God's word never returns void. I certainly know how God has used these messages to shape and encourage me. I trust that he's doing the same in your life. And if we can pray for you, encourage you, as we stand and sing in just a few moments, I'll be here at the front. Maybe you just need encouragement, or maybe you just want someone to lift you up, or maybe you want to talk about what it means to really know this Jesus, what it means to enter into a relationship with him. Maybe as we stand and sing in a few moments, you just want to reflect on the witness that is currently at work in your life. Maybe today you've been challenged to be someone who goes and tells, much like these shepherds went and told after their interaction with Christ. Whatever God's leading in your life to do, be faithful to respond according to his leadership and guidance. Father, we pray that this Christmas we would understand in ways that maybe we never have before, or maybe we'd be reminded in special ways of what it means for you to have come to this earth to provide salvation. Lord, that's a message that ought to bring great hope. That ought to bring great peace. And Lord, that ought to galvanize our witness in this world that desperately needs to know that there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Lead in these moments as we respond to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.